Head and tail. Welcome. Let's begin with Isaiah 9. As I said in the previous, and this is actually part two of Isaiah 9, the headship of the Lord. And I will start with this scripture. Therefore, thus the Lord will cut off head and tail from Israel, palm branch and bulrush in one day. Isaiah 9, I'm going to start at verse 8 because this is a section of Isaiah that we're going to deal with. This particular section has been written about quite prolifically by this man named Kahn. But anyway, Isaiah 9:8, the Lord sent a word against Yaakov, and it has fallen on Israel. All the people will know, Ephraim and the inhabitant of Samaria, who say in pride and arrogance of heart, the bricks have fallen down, but we will rebuild with hewn stones. The sycamores are cut down, but we will replace them with cedars. Therefore, the Lord shall set up the adversaries of Rezin against him and spur his enemies on, the Syrians before and the Philistines behind, and they shall devour Israel with an open mouth. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. For the people who do not turn to him who strikes them, nor do they seek the Lord of hosts. Therefore, the Lord will cut off head and tail from Israel, palm branch and bulrush in one day. The elder and honorable, he is the head. The prophet who teaches lies, he is the tail. For the leaders of this people cause them to err, and those who are led by them are destroyed. Therefore, the Lord will have no joy in their young men, nor have mercy on their fathers and fatherless and widows. For everyone is a hypocrite and an evildoer, and every mouth speaks folly. For his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. All right, I just want to deal with this segment right here, and I want to put it in context that this particular these particular verses have been expounded on by this man named Kahn, and he relates it to 9/11 in the United States of America and the fall of the Twin Towers, and that when this happened, the United States said with pride and arrogance, oh, the bricks have fallen down, but we're going to rebuild. We're going to rebuild the Twin Towers. The sycamores are cut down, but we will replace them with cedars. And having been to New York to pray several years ago, I went to these places, and in front of this Episcopal Masonic Church, right next, which was the place of operation for the responders to the Twin Towers devastation. This Masonic Episcopalian church has a sycamore in front of it in reference to this particular scripture. Now, I don't know if they knew what they were doing, but there it is. And what it says is God was trying to discipline this nation, but his anger was not turned away, and his hand is stretched out still. And this was 11 years ago, and what the Lord continues to say, and let me just stop and say that right now in the Gulf of New Mexico over New Orleans, 7 years to the date, Hurricane Isaac is hitting where Hurricane Katrina hit. Same date, 7 years later. And Katrina was a judgment from God over the dividing of Israel and the dividing of the land. And now Isaac is coming in and laughing at what this nation is doing, because the truth is she is dealing treacherously with Israel on the political level, not on the individual level. And therefore, this is a very large warning. Even his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. And we are going to dilate this further and see the reason why. There were many, quote, prophets after 9/11 who said, oh, God wouldn't do that. Or after Katrina, oh, God wouldn't do that. And they do not understand the counsel of God because they have gone in their own counsel without hearing, truly hearing what the word of the Lord was and is over the issues of judgments, that judgments are designed to bring repentance. Let's look at verse 13. For the people do not turn to him who strikes them, nor do they seek the Lord of hosts. Therefore the Lord will cut off head and tail from Israel, palm branch and bulrush in one day. This was designed, this judgment, in order to bring repentance, and the people did not turn to him. Repentance means to turn. The elder and honorable is, he is the head. The prophet who teaches lies, he is the tail. For the leaders of this people cause them to err, and those who are led by them are destroyed. Therefore the Lord will have no joy in their young men, nor have mercy on their fatherless and widows. For everyone is a hypocrite and an evildoer, and every mouth speaks folly. In other words, they don't know what they're talking about. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. And what does this mean? For wickedness burns as the fire. Therefore, we've had many fires over this nation this year. It shall devour the briars and thorns and kindle in the thickets of the forest. They shall mount up like rising smoke through the wrath of the Lord of hosts. The land is burned up, and the people shall be as fuel for the fire. No man shall spare his brother, and he shall snatch on the right hand and be hungry. He shall devour on the left hand and not be satisfied. Famine. Every man shall eat the flesh of his own arm. Famine. Manasseh shall devour Ephraim. Ephraim, Manasseh, together they shall be against Judah. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. Here we see the judgments that came, and the fires that burned and consumed, and the famine that came as a result, and that the devouring of each other, and then brother against brother, and they'll turn against Judah. And three times the prophet has used this phrase, for all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. Isaiah 1, we're going to look at this particular scripture we've got from Isaiah 9 to Isaiah 1. Isaiah 1 lays out Isaiah's call, really, and the beginning part of what he was confronted again and again and again, without going into a commentary on the whole book of Isaiah. But the 66 chapters are an overlay or an overview of the 66 books of the Bible. We'll just leave it at that. The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the day of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. There are four kings here. So his ministry spanned four kingdoms, four ruling monarchs. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. And this is what the Lord is saying. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knows its owner, and the dog its master's crib, but Israel does not know. My people do not consider. Here, the initial rebuke is, these are God's children, in Judah and Jerusalem, and they're rebellious, and they don't know their master, and they don't consider God. Verse 4, alas, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a brood of evildoers, children who are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked to anger the Holy One of Israel, they have turned away backward. Here are the indictment. Here are the crimes. They're sinful. They're full of iniquity, evildoers. They corrupt others. They've forsaken the Lord, whom they provoked to anger. And they are backwards, backslidden. Why should you be stricken again? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faints. The head is corrupt, the whole body is corrupt, correct? There is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed or bound up or soothed with ointment. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Strangers devour your land in your presence, and it is desolate as overthrown by strangers. So the daughter of Zion is left as a booth in a vineyard, as a hut in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Unless the Lord of hosts had left to us a very small remnant, we would have become like Sodom. We would have made like Gomorrah. And what was the issue with Sodom and Gomorrah? They were completely annihilated under the judgment of God. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Now, the prophet here is talking to Judah and Jerusalem and Israel, Judah and Jerusalem. He's saying, though, that they're like Sodom. Give ear to the law of our God, you people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is your multitude of sacrifices to me? Okay, listen, he's telling them, listen up. And then he's gonna say what the sacrifices are. To why do you do all this, says the Lord? I've had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed cattle. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or goats. When you come to appear before me, who has required this from your hand? To trample my courts. Bring me no more futile sacrifices. He doesn't want your sacrifices. This is futility, the Lord says. Incense is an abomination to me. The new moons, the Shabbats, and the calling of assemblies, I cannot endure iniquity and the sacred meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feast, my soul hates. They are a trouble to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. In other words, when they come to, you know, make their prayers. Even though you make many prayers, I will not hear, for your hands are full of blood. Wash yourselves and make yourselves clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Here it is. This is doing good. Seek justice. Rebuke the oppressor. Defend the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you are willing and obedient. In other words, Lord, he says, I'm not interested in your sacrifices and keeping all these rituals and festivals and new moons. I want willing obedience. You shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. I desire obedience, not sacrifice. And this is what the Lord spoke to Saul. Don't give me your religious, you know, external rituals and keeping, you know, the sacrificial law. I want justice and mercy and humility here. I want willing obedience. This is what the Lord requires. Let's proceed with Isaiah's commission. In the opening verses of Isaiah 1, verse 21, where he proceeds to say how the faithful city has become a harlot. It's full of justice, righteousness lodged in, but now murderers. Your silver has become dross, your wine mixed with water. Your princes are rebellious and companions of thieves. Everyone loves bribes and follows after rewards. They do not defend the fatherless, nor does the cause of the widow come before them. Therefore, the Lord says, the Lord of hosts, the mighty one of Israel. I will rid myself of my adversaries and take vengeance on my enemies. I will turn my hand against you and thoroughly purge away your dross and take away all your alloy. I will restore your judges as at the first and your counselors as at the beginning. Afterwards, you shall be called the city of righteousness, the faithful city. Zion shall, and this, okay, so here it goes. You're harlot. But God is going to remove these judges and these unrighteous counselors. The Lord calls them his enemies. He's going to purge them. He's going to make the city of righteousness, the faithful city. Zion shall be redeemed with justice and her penitence with righteousness. The destruction of transgressors and of sinners shall be together. And those who forsake the Lord shall be consumed, for they shall be ashamed of their terebinth trees, which you have desired. Now these are places where they went to worship other idols. And you shall be embarrassed because of the gardens which you have chosen, for you shall be as the terebinth whose leaf fades, and as a garden that has no water. The strong shall be as tinder, and the work of it as a spark. Both will be burned together, and no one will quench them. God says he's going to destroy them with fire and purge and cleanse them. Now those who repent, okay, this is good in turn. Okay, that's great. But he's going to do a work. He's going to do a work. His hand is against it. And he's going to take vengeance on these that he calls his adversaries and his enemies. And the Lord shall establish Zion, he says, that place with his commandments and his laws. And it will be the city that a holy God will dwell in that day. What day is that? That day is coming soon. Even so, Maranatha, come, Lord Yeshua. Now here in Isaiah's commission, he addresses the mouth of the Lord has spoken, it says in verse 20, how the faithful city has become a harlot. So he has addressed the harlotry of this city, being unfaithful to him and to what he, to the vows that they have made to serve him with justice and righteousness and all of this. Hosea 5, 3. I know Ephraim. Ephraim, I believe, is often the United States, those descendants, because Ephraim and Manasseh have the blessings of Joseph that were prophesied to them, evident in those nations. I know Ephraim. Israel's not hidden from me. For now, O Ephraim, you commit harlotry. Israel is defiled. What is the issue with Hosea? God told him to marry a prostitute, a harlot, as a sign of what was going on in his nation, of their unfaithfulness to him who created them as his children. Verse 4, they do not direct their deeds toward turning to their God, for the spirit of harlotry is in their midst, and they do not know the Lord. The pride of Israel testifies to his face. Therefore, Israel and Ephraim stumble in their iniquity. Judah also stumbles with them. It's their pride that causes them to trip up. With their flocks and their herds, they shall go to seek the Lord, but they will not find him. He has withdrawn himself from them. So there comes a time in our life where we may think we're serving God and we're offering sacrifices and, you know, being committed to him and going in and praying. But what's happened? We have willful disobedience operating. And that self becomes an idol over the sovereign lordship of Jesus Christ. So we can get all these, all these external, and I just heard someone say it. Oh, well, you know, Jesus loves us all, and we can come to him on his own terms. I said, wait, whoa, stop. No. You're fallen, and you will create a Jesus after your own understanding. Okay, the Word of God clearly lays out what God requires and who He looks like. And if whatever a revelation doesn't fit in, whatever's given by the spirit realm with the Word of God, then that's another spirit and that's another Jesus. And this needs to be carefully defined out. We cannot say that we are righteous before God if we're not following His righteous precepts and statutes. With their flocks and herds, they shall go to seek the Lord, but they will not find Him. And God says, yeah, okay, they're gonna try to come to me and say, well, we're doing what we're supposed to. And God says, no, I've withdrawn myself from you because they have dealt treacherously with the Lord. For they have begotten pagan children. Now a new moon shall devour them in their heritage. Okay, they have dealt treacherously with the Lord. What is it? When you deal treacherously, like say, and we're talking harlotry, so we're talking a marriage covenant, a marriage relationship between God and His children, or God and His bride, His wife, it means you have broken your vows to God. You have not come and submitted to Him on His terms. You have come with, well, I'll do this for you, but I believe that this is you, without asking or seeking God or looking what the counsel of the Word says. And so I'm going to do this, and this is not what God's requiring of you or asking you to do. In total surrender. You have not completely surrendered. For I will be like a lion to Ephraim, and like a young lion to the house of Judah. I will tear them and go away. I will take them away, and no one shall rescue. I will return again to my place till they acknowledge their offense. Then they will seek my face. In their affliction, they will earnestly seek me. So if you're afflicted and troubles and you can't hear God and He's withdrawn His hand, how do we know we hear God? It lines up with His revealed counsel of the Scriptures. Until you seek Him earnestly and you want to know the truth. Because the truth is a sword. The Word of God is a sword that divides between flesh, okay, and bone, joint and marrow, and spirit and soul. So your soul can get caught up with your spirit and make an idol after your own thoughts and your own soulishness, your own ideas that do not line up with the counsel of God. Hosea 11:8, how can I give you up, Ephraim? How can I hand you over, Israel? How can I make you like Admah? How can I say you like Zeboim? My heart churns within me. My sympathy is stirred. I will not execute the fierceness of my anger. Now, if you recall when we said before, you know, my anger is burning, but my hand is still extended towards you. I will not again destroy Ephraim, for I am God and not man, the Holy One in your midst. I will not come with terror. They shall walk after the Lord. He will roar like a lion. And when He roars, then His son shall come trembling from the west. They shall come trembling like a bird from Egypt, like a dove from the land of Assyria. And I will let them dwell in their houses, says the Lord. Ephraim has encircled me with lies, and the house of Israel with the sea. But Judah still walks with God, even the one who is faithful. So in this passage here over Hosea, God talks about how Ephraim, and He goes on to say Ephraim's a half-baked cake, it isn't turned over, it's disgusting to him, but still He has compassion for His son. And He's still dealing with him in His hot wrath and the anger and the fierceness of the disobedience and treachery that has been worked. And who's it worked against? God Himself. They've broken their vows. Oh, I vowed to be God's servant, but after I, you know, after I go plow my field and after I bury my parents and after I do this and do that, and Yeshua clearly said, you're not worthy of me. Now, I believe it's Deuteronomy 28, the cursings for obedience and disobedience. It says, if you're obedient, I will make you the head. And if you are disobedient, I will make you the tail. And so God in His fury and His anger, what does that look like in His judgment for being willfully disobedient? Ezekiel 5. And you, son of man, take a sharp sword. Take it as a barber's razor and pass it over your head and your beard. Then take scales to weigh and divide the hair. You shall burn with fire 1/3 in the midst of the city when the days of the siege are finished. Then you shall take 1/3 and strike around it with a sword. And 1/3 you shall scatter in the wind. I will draw out a sword after them. You shall also take a small number of them and bind them in the edge of your garment. Then take some of them again and throw them in the midst of the fire and burn them in the fire. From there a fire will go out into all the house of Israel. Now let me talk about this prophetic sign. So Ezekiel's told to take a sharp sword, which is the word of the Lord, which speaks of the sword of judgment, truth, and shave himself, and then take scales to weigh and divide his hair. And this speaks of Daniel in Nebuchadnezzar's court, when written on the wall was many, many, tekel uparsin, weighed, found wanting, tekel uparsin, divided. And then when the siege is finished in the city, he's going to burn 1/3 of the hair, because the city's going to be burned with fire. This is the judgment of God, the sword of fire. Okay. And then 1/3 will strike it around with a sword. That means that 1/3 will be consumed with fire, 1/3 with the sword. And 1/3 is going to be scattered in the wind. That they'll go into captivity, dispersed from out of the land. And God will draw out a sword after them. They will pursue, you know, by captivity. And a small number of them shall be bound in the edge of the garment. So a small number of them have come into the edge of God's garment, which is the prophet's garment, okay? Is the word that what the prophet has spoken, the words of the prophet they've received, that small number of them shall be preserved. Then take some of them again and throw them in the midst of the fire and burn them in the fire. From there, fire will go out into all the house of Israel. Now, let's look at how this is going to play out. Ezekiel 5:5. This says the Lord, this is Jerusalem, and I have set her in the midst of all the nations and the countries all around her. And she has rebelled against my judgments by doing wickedness more than the nations, and against my statutes more than the countries that are all around her. For they have refused my judgments, and they have not walked in my statutes. Okay, so Israel's rebellious, and because she knows God's judgments and laws and statutes and precepts and commandments, God has indicted her as more wicked than all the nations or all the countries around her. Because, why? Israel has refused my judgments and not walked in my statutes. It's overt rebellion. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, because you have multiplied disobedience more than the nations that are all around you, and have not walked in my statutes, nor kept my judgments, nor even done according to the judgments of the nations that are all around you. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, indeed, I am against you, and will execute judgments in your midst in the sight of the nations. And I will do among you what I have never done, and the like of which I will never do again, because of all your abominations. Therefore fathers shall eat their sons in your midst, and sons shall eat their fathers. And I will execute judgments among you, and all of you who remain I will scatter to all the winds. So this talks about the siege and famine, cannibalism, and the dispersion of those who remain. And thus the hair, the symbol of the hair being cut and shaved and divided and parsed out. Therefore, as I live, says the Lord God, surely, because you have defiled my sanctuary with all your detestable things and with all your abominations, therefore I will also diminish you. My eye will not spare, nor will I have any pity. 1/3 of you shall die of the pestilence and be consumed with famine in your midst. And 1/3 shall fall by the sword all around you. And I will scatter another 1/3 to all the winds, and I will draw out a sword after them. This is very clear. no wiggle room here. Then shall my anger be spent, and I will cause my fury to rest upon them, and I will be avenged. And they shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it in my zeal, when I have spent my fury upon them. Moreover, I will make you a waste and a reproach among the nations that are all around you in the sight of all who pass by. So shall be a reproach, a taunt, a lesson, and an astonishment to the nations that are all around you, when I execute judgments among you in anger and in fury and in furious rebukes. I, the Lord, have spoken. When I send against them the terrible arrows of famine, which shall be for destruction, which I will send to destroy you, I will increase the famine upon you and cut off your supply of bread. So I will send against you famine and wild beasts, and they will bereave you. Pestilence and blood shall pass through you, and I will bring the sword against you. I, the Lord, have spoken. Now all these things are still, God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He changes not. I change not. And let's look in these days in Ezekiel 38. In the latter days. Now this has happened. These in the former times. Let's look at what's happening now. Therefore, son of man, prophesy and say to Gog, thus says the Lord God. On that day when my people Israel dwell safely, will you not know it? Then you will come from your place out of the far north, you and many peoples with you, all of them riding on horses, a great company and a mighty army. You will come up against my people Israel like a cloud to cover the land. It will be in the latter days that I will bring you against my land so that the nations may know me. This is the purpose. When I am hallowed in you, O Gog, before their eyes. Thus says the Lord God, are you he of whom I have spoken in former days by my servants, the prophets of Israel, who prophesied for years in those days that I would bring you against them? And it will come to pass at the same time when God comes against the land of Israel, says the Lord God, that my fury will show in my face. For in my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath I have spoken. Surely in that day there shall be a great earthquake in the land of Israel, so that the fish of the sea and the birds of the heaven, the beasts of the fields and all creeping things that creep on the earth, and all men who are on the face of the earth shall shake at my presence. And the mountains shall be thrown down, and the steep places shall fall, and every wall shall fall to the ground. I will call for a sword against Gog throughout all my mountains. Who is God's mountains? The mountains of Israel. God says, those are his mountains, says the Lord God. Every man's sword will be against his brother, and I will bring him to judgment with pestilence and bloodshed. And I will rain down on him, on his troops, and on the many peoples who are with him, flooding rain, great hailstones, fire, and brimstone. Thus I will magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations. Then they shall know that I am the Lord. Ezekiel 38. The purpose of this is for God to be sanctified amongst the in his land, in the mountains of Israel, among the eyes of many nations, that the Lord God is a holy God, sanctified, made holy. The land will be made holy when God allows and brings us. Ooh, this scripture has never been fulfilled, but it will be. Praise the name of our holy God. Now let's go back to God dealing in Isaiah 9 with the sycamore tree and Katrina and Isaac. Let's look at Zechariah. This particular scripture, the Holy Spirit gave me right before, several weeks before Katrina hit 7 years ago, be silent, all flesh, before the Lord, for he is aroused from his holy habitation. This is from Zechariah chapter 2. And the passage is, "Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for behold, I am coming. And I will dwell in your midst, says the Lord. Many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day, and they shall become my people, and I will dwell in your midst. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you, and the Lord will take possession of Judah as his inheritance in the Holy Land, and will again choose Jerusalem. Be silent, all flesh, before the Lord, for as he is aroused from his holy habitation." And let's look at Zechariah 8. "Again, the word of the Lord came, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, I am zealous for Zion with great zeal. With great fervor I'm jealous for her. And thus says the Lord, I will return to Zion and dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. And Jerusalem shall be called the city of truth, the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. Now God is a holy God, and he cannot stand in the midst of sin, and he does not dwell in the midst of his sinful and profane people, because he is a holy land. And that land will be sanctified, made holy, and come under the government of his commandments and his laws and his ordained authority. And it is not a democracy, it is a kingdom. And he's the king, and he says what goes." Now, in the book of Jude, there's in the vestibule, it's called the vestibule of Revelation, there are three sins that are apparent at the time of the book of Revelation. The sons of Cain and Abel, the sin of Balaam, and the sin of the sons of Korah. Let me just briefly review. Cain and Abel was, Cain made his own altar and not the one prescribed by the Lord. Cain offered his fruits and vegetables, and Abel offered a lamb slaughtered because shed blood was taken, was needed in order to redeem the sins of mankind, to take away his sins. And his sacrifice was offered because it was the way the Lord set up the altar. Now, the sons of Balaam, was that he prophesied for money and for gain. So there are a lot of false prophets. And I think Sodom and Gomorrah. But anyway, it's the sin of Balaam and the sons of Korah, who usurped the authority, the God-given authority, by Moses. Well, God can talk to us. He can talk to you. And so these sins brought this judgment. But when the Lord comes, when the Lord returns, he will sanctify the land, put his statutes and his precept in his order, and then God shall call Jerusalem, Judah, holy again, and Israel, and he shall show himself as holy, and he shall sanctify his great name amongst all the nations, that he is God and there is no other. Bless the name of the Lord, and God bless you. This is the second part. First part is the previous audio file, head. This is head and tail. God bless you.